What I want to share with you tonight is, to me personally, one of the greatest truths in all the New Testament, if not in all the Scriptures. It's blessed me tremendously, and I wanted to share it with you, and I hope it's a blessing to you as well. I'm going to tell on myself. I've preached this before to my previous Sunday school class, so guys, if this sounds familiar, I apologize. But it's always better the second time, so always better. So, now, if you haven't already, turn to Matthew 9 with me. And we just read these nine verses, but actually what I want to share with you is just one verse, one simple, unassuming little story that seems to be at the Scripture at random. But as we know, nothing is just chance in the Word of God. You know, one thing you can take away from tonight's sermon is never take anything God says in His Word for granted. The smallest story can have the most significant meaning. So we're going to begin just a little bit before in verse 6. Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." So we see Jesus committed this great miracle. That's a story we're all familiar with, right? But then the whole outlook of the Bible changes and shifts gears to one very short, single event. Now look at verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Wow. One event that probably took no more than like 5 minutes changed one man's whole life for eternity and the world. It also contains a very powerful truth for us tonight. I want to draw attention to the only person speaking in this story and what he said. You know, Matthew could have said a million things at this point. Someone comes up and says, I want you to leave everything and follow me. But whether he did or not say anything, what matters is what Christ said. It's his word that changed Matthew's life and can change yours as well. I want to focus tonight on the two all-powerful, life-changing words, follow me. You know, God works in mysterious ways. We were singing, and Sarah pointed out, we just sang, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. It's amazing. But this is very short little two words, but it's all too important. And it's what I want to focus on. There's three things I want you to notice about this call to follow me. And the first is very, very important. It's number one, the call was very simple. Look again at this verse. He saith unto him, Follow me, and he arose and followed him. This is incredible all in itself. This story is a perfect picture of what Paul says, the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It always amazes me how totally infinite God is, but yet he is so profoundly simple. God simplifies. Man always complicates things. For example, I will share with you something that happened to me just last week. Last week was my birthday, some of you might know, so I decided I wanted to spoil myself and get myself some new clothes, okay? So I went to the store and I saw something on sale and I wanted it. So I thought, okay, easy enough, it's on sale, I'm going to go up to the register. And the lady said, do you want a credit card? No. Do you want to sign up for a rewards program? No. Do you want this or that? No. Do you want to give to charity? No. No, I don't want to give charity. No, I'm just kidding. But all this stuff. But you'll save $30 if you do. So if I spend $15, I'll save $50 and you get $30. Yeah, just do it. Okay, fine. So I swipe my card, all right? The lady says, it don't go through. Do again. It's like, okay. So I swipe my card again. And then she said, it don't work. Swipe one more time. And now I know probably most of you are thinking, okay, I wouldn't have swiped it a third time, but I'm not very intelligent. So I swiped it a third time. And so the lady goes, the bank locked out your card. Ha ha, it's very funny. No, it's not very funny. The bank locked out my card? Yeah, so I called the bank, and they said, yeah, you've been charged three times the same amount, blah, blah, blah. So it was an absolute nightmare. Sarah knows, poor thing, I was not very happy. But, you know, all I wanted to do was just buy something. So simple, but it became so complicated. You know, something so easy because man got involved. But thankfully, God's not that way. Thank goodness. Macy's isn't, but God is, so. You know, God can give his entire will to you in just two short words. And by obeying just that command, all things become possible for you and for me. Notice in this verse that Jesus did not say, Matthew, I want you to give money. I want you to go to church. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this great work for God. You're going to be my apostle. You're going to do this, this, and this. I want you to do miracles in my name. No, he didn't say that. Not that any of those things were not good, but they weren't the most important. What did Jesus want Matthew to do? What do you want Matthew to know? He wanted him simply to follow him. That's amazing. I often wondered what went through Matthew's head at that moment. You know, if I was him, probably would be thinking, the Messiah, he knew who he was. The Messiah is asking me, and he's probably going like this, me? You know, he's taking taxes. You're talking to me? The Messiah wants me to follow him? Don't you know who I am? I'm a publican. I'm the sinner of sinners. I will lose every popularity contest there is. Nobody likes me. But Christ chose him. You know one of the greatest mistakes Christians make in their lives? And one of the main reasons they add such unnecessary complications to their Christian walk? They always look inward and not upward. They always look inside themselves for understanding. And doubt begins to creep in. They feel like they don't really meet the requirements to serve the Lord in the fullest capacity, at least certainly not like these apostles did. They feel like they just don't have what it takes, or so they think. I want to remind you of some of the people that Christ called to himself. Matthew, a publican. I mean, this guy was not the 2012 election best pick. Okay, this guy was not very popular. Zacchaeus was an extortioner, a thief, a crook, an Ebenezer Scrooge, little man, but God called him. Manasseh, a murderer, and Paul, a great persecutor of God's own people. These are the men that Christ called to himself. Quite a background, right? Let me ask you, what great pedigree did they have that you think you lack? These men had no good background whatsoever, yet Christ called them to follow him. They simply followed that one command, and one command only. And the rest, well, was history. That's not to say they didn't want to know more. You know, not always content with saying, follow me. Oh, okay, that's all I need to know. No, I'm sure they had questions. You remember Peter, in the end of John? Lord, what's going to happen to me? Just follow me. Well, I don't know what I'm going to... Just follow me. What about John? What's going to happen? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's all Peter needed to know. And that's all we need to know. That is enough. All he wants us to do is obey. When I went to school, I'll be honest with you, I had no clue what I was going to do with my life. I told the Lord I would do anything he wants me to do except for the ministry. And that is the dumbest thing you can ever do, by the way. Don't ever tell God you're not going to do something. You're going to do it. Just because. So, if I didn't have a bad view of it, it's just that I knew the Lord wanted me to do it, so I said, that's the only thing I won't do. I was not a very bright child. You're going to find that out a lot tonight. Not a very smart person. But when I went to school, I actually started my first year as a secondary education major, and it was a great year. But at the end of the year, I finally said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, even if it's the ministry. At that moment, God called me to his service, to the ministry. And so the next year, I switched my major from education to pastoral, and then everything started to get really complicated because I started to have doubt and anxiety and frustration and fear just all of a sudden overwhelm me. You know, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What is the Lord going to do in my life? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not, you know, equipped enough? What if I backslide and I miss out on God's will? All of these fears and frustrations, it overwhelmed me. And I remember one night, I went home to my dorm, and I was all alone, which is very rare for my dorm. I don't know where they were, but I was all alone. And I remember kneeling on my bed, crying like a baby. I was just, Lord, I am overwhelmed. And I read that portion in John when Peter had so many questions. And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And, you know, that changed me. At that moment, when I realized all I had to do was follow the Lord, the world and all its weight just fell off my shoulders. I have to constantly remind myself that that is enough for me. And I understood at that point why it was enough for anyone just to follow the Lord. Why, Andy? Why is that? because it is the single greatest thing that you can do in your life. It's not oversimplified. It is the greatest thing. I'm not too impressed anymore when I meet someone who has a large bank account or great business just for that reason. Or some young gun comes to me and says, I'm going to start a church in North Dakota. Or I'm going to, you know, do this great work for God. Or I'm going to do this. I'm going to go do that. That's all well and good. But what I want to know is, are you following the Lord each and every day? That is what matters. And when you are truly following the Lord, that and that alone, you don't need man's approval. All the frustrations and complications that man tries to put on you, you're following him. You say, hey, I'm following him, not you. This word, not your word. Don't care what Deepak Chopra says. I care about what Christ says. And he told me to follow him. Concern yourself. I implore you tonight to forget the lies and the doubts of the devil and cast away the complexity and the confusion of this world and embrace the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And that is in his call to you. Concern yourself with one matter and with one matter only. Are you following him? If you do, you will reap the full blessings of God as Matthew did. And speaking of Matthew, there's a second lesson that we can learn from tonight's text. And this is very, very interesting. Now look at this. We saw the call was simple. But secondly, the call was sudden. It was sudden. Look at verse 9 again. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I read this verse, I'm thinking, man, this is so small. Why is this in here? It's like the shortest story in the world. You know, one of the reasons the story is so short is because it all happened so fast. It was just, you know, Christ didn't really say all that much. He said, follow me. And Matthew didn't question or resist. He didn't argue or complain. He didn't question God. He didn't wrestle with flesh and blood. It was bing, bang, boom, boom, done. Signed deal. And to us, this might seem kind of strange. It all happened so fast. But this is all too common in the nature and the economy of God. You know, when God created the world, he did it in 7 days, not 7 million years, as for some reason carnal man has an easier time believing. You know, God, in Exodus, the Lord used just a few days to turn the most powerful nation in the world upside down and deliver millions who have been in captivity for decades. God turned Joseph in a moment from a prisoner to a prince. Haman, who was wicked and cunning, was seemingly invincible, untouchable, but as quick as the king's favor turned to fury, he went from Haman the honored to Haman the hanged, just like that. Job went from despised to delivered. David, refugee to ruler. Amos, picker of fruit to proclaimer of the word of God. And the story goes on and on and on. Even when Christ, when he came, he turned water to wine, deaf to hear, lame to walk. And at the mere mention of his command, it all happened so suddenly. So suddenly. It should encourage you, beloved, that when God acts, he does so at once. My father-in-law has a saying. When stuff needs to get done, he says, Publix people know how to get stuff done. He'll pick up his phone and call right there. He's a go-getter. I like that about him. It's like, Publix people know how to do this. He'll call a phone and say, oh, he got it done. So that's awesome. I don't know about Steve Carver, though. Is he here? No, I tried. I don't know about that guy. But Mr. Turcotte, yeah. I'm just kidding, Steve. But when God acts, he does so at once. When you pray, there is no voicemail. Beep. There is no call waiting. The number you have dialed is disconnected. Beep. Goodbye. You know, when you call upon the Lord, he's right there. He hears you. When you're going through a terrible storm in your life with no sign of ever letting up, he can, in the blink of an eye, just like that, calm as smooth as glass, in a moment he can do that for you. When God chooses to act, he does so without delay. You may wait a little or a long while for God to answer that prayer or to save that loved one or to deliver you from that storm. But I encourage you tonight that when he does choose to act, he does so swiftly and surely. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why is that? Because in a moment, God can change everything. The world always says, probably one of their greatest mockeries in this world is, where is the promise of his coming? You know, it's here tonight. It's right here. And though we have waited seemingly so long, it will come. I am sick and tired of the world throwing the name of Christ through the muck and the mud, constantly berailing his name, persecuting his people, making a mockery of his statutes, which are the only words whereby we must be saved. I'm tired of it, sick and tired of it. But there is a day when Christ will come as a thief in the night for the world, as a thief in the night, boom, we all will be gone, all of us. And they will say, it all happened so suddenly. So suddenly, at any moment, Christ could come. That encourages my heart tonight. Something to consider, though. When God commands, all of creation obeys immediately, except for one, sinful, stubborn man. But it ought not be that way. My parents had a saying. They still have a saying, actually. When I was a kid, they would always say, obey right away. Y'all ever said that to your kids before? I don't know. But they always said to me, obey right away. You know, when my mom would say, Andy, take out the trash, I would take it as, you know, when you get around to it, take out the trash. Yeah, you know, whenever you're done doing what is so important. But when my mom said, Andy, take out the trash, it means take out the trash now. Obey right away. And I'd be like, yes, mom, but I wouldn't do it. So instead of mom coming in the room, now it's daddy. And he doesn't say it as nice as mom does. So I learned very quickly. Actually, no, I didn't. It took me a long time. I'm not a smart person, I told you. To obey right away. You know, delayed obedience really isn't obedience at all. If your boss tells you to do something, I don't think he means take a 30-minute lunch break and then do it. I know people have done that. I try not to do that. So, but obey right away. And you know, the fact that God acts swiftly should encourage us tonight, but it should also challenge us because he expects the same of us. When Christ commanded the sea to be still, as I mentioned earlier, the Bible said immediately it became as glass. The ocean, as vast and powerful as it is, obeyed the command of its creator in a moment. How do we think we are any better than that? When God gives you something to do, he doesn't want to hear, well, I can't even imagine how God feels when puny little me gives him excuses, like I'm busy. And that's most of the time our problem, is when God gives us something to do, he pricks our heart. We always think God comes to us at inconvenient times. I know I'm guilty of when I'm in a gas station and the Lord just, you know the feeling. The Holy Spirit will say, hey, give that guy a track. Okay, I'm on my lunch break. I'm filling up my gas. I got to go. I don't have time. What if he starts talking to me? You know, Lord forbid that he starts talking to me. I can't give him a track. I'm busy. When God tells you to do something, obey right away. I often wonder so many times what would have happened if I just obeyed the Lord, handed that track out, or prayed for that person, or opened God's word when he asked me to. Notice something very important here. In this verse, Christ came to Matthew when he was working. And most of the apostles had the same experience. You know, they were fishing. Christ came to them. I want you to remember tonight that Satan will always attack you when you are idle. You're not doing much at all. But Christ will come to you while you are busy working for him. When you are busy being faithful in the daily matters. That is when Christ knocks on your door. Not when you're sitting around humdrum, when you're fishing, when you're sitting at the receipt of custom, when you're just doing your daily thing, doing what you're supposed to do every day, that's when Christ will knock on your heart's door and ask you to do something for him. And do not ignore the pleading of the Holy Spirit to do so. You know, it's kind of like if you're working and all of a sudden a fireman busts through your door. And there's no fire yet. You don't know of a fire. But the fireman says, you have to come with me right now. Grab my hand. And you say, whoa, 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 Mr. Fireman. What are you doing here? You broke down my door. You tell me to follow you. I got some questions, pal. No, no, no. If you saw a fireman, he told you to get out now, I think you would do it, right? It should be the same way when the Holy Spirit prompts you. Because when he prompts you to do something, it is something of eternal importance. So many times, I wonder what God could do through me if I just would obey right away. Be determined tonight. When God calls you to pray, you pray. When he asks you to open his word, put down the remote, put down whatever you're doing, and do so. When he speaks to your heart about that coworker or that stranger across the street, don't resist. Witness. You can see, thankfully for Matthew, he made the right choice, the immediate one. He just got up. Imagine how horrible it would have been if Matthew resisted the Lord's call. He would have missed out on everything. including eternal salvation, if you didn't obey right away. May we tonight make the same wise choice. And the last lesson I want to share with you, and I'll be done, is perhaps the most important, wondrous, mysterious of all. I still don't fully understand it myself, but I rejoice in it. And it is, the call is simple, the call was sudden. And lastly, I want you to notice, the call was special. It was special. Andy, why? Why is it special? I'll tell you why. It's not necessarily because of what was said, or even how it was said. It's special for one reason and one reason only, because of the person who said it. The Bible says, and Jesus, passing forth from thence. Not Peter, not John, and Jesus, passing forth from thence. It was special because it was Jesus Christ who was passing by that tax office that day. It would have been something special if it was Peter or John, or even if it was like Elijah or Moses. But these are just men. Their appearance to Matthew would have been impressive or intriguing at best, but not eternally life-changing. If Michael the archangel walked by Matthew that day, it probably would have been something he would talk about till the end of his days. I mean, imagine that. Michael the archangel just walks by your tax office. Whoa! You know? But he would still have been the same old publican, the same dirty, rotten sinner, just like you and I. And he would have stayed at that tax booth, never knowing the full grace and mercy of God. I'm not impressed when someone says they are earnestly following in the footsteps of some man or some false religion. One reason why is because the end of that road always leads to the same result, death. No victory over the grave, no forgiveness of sins, but more importantly, they walk in the footsteps of men. Men who have died and are now nothing more but dust in the wind. But I am glad tonight that I am not following just some man, but I am following the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, who did conquer death and hell, who died on the cross, who rose again on the third day for me so that I may know. I am not following some dead man's religion, some false way, but I am a child of the living God who is ever living to make intercession for you and for me. And at the end of this journey, I will not go to a devil's hell, but I will go into heaven. Heaven where a place prepared for me, where I will dwell with the same Christ forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen to that. That is the person who has called me. That is the person who has called you to follow him. That is what I call special, very special. Can you tell me what calling is more wondrous and glorious than that? I submit to you that you will never find one. And consequently, that means there is no sacrifice too great to follow the Lord. You know, when I studied this message, I noticed something, that Luke gives the exact same account in the Gospel of Luke, but there's one small difference. It's very interesting. Luke observes, and Luke is very detail-oriented, as we know, he observed that Matthew, it says, and Matthew, having left all, rose up and followed him. Isn't it interesting that Matthew doesn't make that same observation? See, it says, follow me, and he arose and followed him. It doesn't say he left all. Why? Why is that? Luke said, Matthew, man, look at all the stuff he left behind. He wrote that in his account, but Matthew did not. Because Matthew said, the Son of God came to me and called me by name to follow him. And I rose up and followed him. What about all those things, Matthew? You know, and having left all these things, what about all those things? These things? Like Paul, he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counted all those things but dung. Why? Because there is nothing like the call of Christ. Follow me. You know, unlike most of the other apostles, when Matthew left his little tax office, he never returned to it again. He didn't say, I go fishing. Because when he followed the Lord, he knew there was nothing greater. In closing, I want to encourage you tonight to simply follow the Lord. Because there's nothing greater that you can do with your life. When he prompts you to do something, do it so immediately. Obey right away. Don't delay. And you will discover, as Matthew did, that following our precious Savior is the greatest and most blessed call of our life. Follow me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and what it means to us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And when you give us the call to follow you, we know that we are following a living God. And we will see you again someday. Help us to forget all the worries and doubts of this world and simply focus on following you each and every day. May our hearts be lifted up this evening. May you be glorified in all that we say and do because we love you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.